How often do you pause and reflect on the words that you are using? I've started to pay a little bit more attention to my language, but for the vast majority of my time, my words seem to flow unconsciously and accidentally. Yet, language is one of the greatest tools that we have to our resources, because language quite literally describes the world we live in. For some people, the world could be scary and intimidating, and for others, it's a bold adventure filled with friendship. And the difference? How we describe it. In this episode, I catch up with Cass Thomas, a leading expert in communication. For Cass, she knows that the language we use is a tool to unite us, not just in our communities and across borders, but also unite us to our deepest potential. It's a way of us removing ourselves from the barriers that we currently face and elevating our circumstance, our abilities as well, through the art of language. Welcome to the Strong Voice podcast with me, Kate Strong. Each episode, I catch up with adventurers, experts, and explorers from all the corners of this beautiful planet. My guests share the obstacles and lessons they've experienced on their unique path so that we too can learn from them. And today I'm joined with the amazing Cass Thomas, who's a successful entrepreneur and communication expert. She inspires people to explore more choices and find the changes that they're looking for, whilst also discovering their unique brand of magic. So welcome to the podcast, Cass.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here with you, dear. Absolutely.
Likewise. And I'm really excited to speak with you today because as chance would have it, I think it's the word synchronicity. I was reading a book last night that quoted something that really struck a chord with me when I read your bio. And so if it's okay, I'll share that quote and then ask you a question about it.
Absolutely.
So it's from the book, The Four Agreements. And the quote was, "All the magic you possess is based on your word, and you can cast spells all the time with your opinions." And knowing that you are a communication expert, dealing in people, finding our essence or our magic, I would love to know from your point of view, why is communication so important when addressing the changes we wish to make?
Absolutely. Well, you know, so much of our communication, we think it's only about words, right? But the first way of communicating is energetically. Like sometimes the silence, right, is actually an invitation for people to know that you're with them. If you don't have words to actually articulate how you're feeling about them, you know? So our connecting with ourselves and being present, having a presence when we're with people, is something that really allows us to be our unique brand of magic. So I love that quote, you know, and so many of us do the same thing that everyone else does. Like lots of people do podcasts, lots of people do running, maybe not running as much as you do, but however, what is it that you do? You know, what is it that may be the same as everyone else, but the same task, the same thing that they do, run, do podcasts, but the way you do it is different. You know, and the way you do it is something that is uniquely yours. And so what is that unique, different brand of magic that you have that nobody else has? Because nobody does you like you do you.
Yeah, I would be a terrible example of Cass Thomas, but one of the best, or the best, of Kate Strong. So it's about finding out who I am.
Absolutely. And, you know, if everyone's trying to be like Kate Strong, well, her job's already taken. Are you willing? Are you willing really to, you know, step up and be the best version of you that today, you know, and tomorrow, an even better version of you? We talk about competition a lot of times, but you cannot compete with someone else because they actually are doing them quite well. But you can be competitive and be the best version of you today that you could possibly be. I don't know if I told you about I play tennis a bit, right? And, you know, I'm not like a champion in tennis, but I remember when I did a couple of tournaments, and one woman began communicating with me in a really great way, you know, talking about my book, one of my books, and how much she liked it. And she connected with me. And then I started playing with her, and I was just so warm and fuzzy that I wasn't, you know, being a winner. And then I played with a woman who was not only the best woman in our club, but she was better than most of the men in our club. And I never, ever had played a game so well of tennis than when I was playing with her. Did I win? Did I lose? Or did I learn something? You know, so really what inspires you and motivates you to really be the best version of you that you can be?
Yeah. And it sounds like you've applied the lessons that you learned in your own business as well as in your own life, because you're a very renowned author. You've got a successful business that has been franchised out across the globe. And I know that you have clients spread across in many different languages and countries and cultures, where you're enabling them to not just discover their true magic, but also make a ripple in their own communication with others as well.
Absolutely. And when we're, you know, I always talk about connecting with you, yes, and recognizing when you're disconnected, what disconnects you from you, what puts you into resistance or reaction. And probably there's something beyond that resistance and reaction that can inspire you to even go more. And I know you've worked with sports. So sometimes, you know, I've been working out so much in the last couple of days, but I could resist to test doing another step or lifting another weight. However, if you're connected with you, you really are following your intuition to know, is this going to create more in my life? Even though it's not feeling comfortable, and it's and I may be going into a little resistance, but is it going to actually create more in my life? And I love the sports and the way, the simplicity of it, and how that actually is really a parallel to the way we build our businesses. You know what I mean? We sometimes try to be very complicated and to try to do it in the right way, you know, and in a very structured way. And instead of actually adapting to the change and being able to adjust and re-approach your business in a new way. And this is, it's a never-ending journey, really is.
Yeah, yes, it's wonderful. And I think I love using sport as a way to hold me accountable to grow in my business, because it's very easy to see in sport if I miss a training session or I'm not performing physically. But in business, it's sometimes hidden a little bit because it's the mindset, it's the inner workings as well. And we could be in front of the computer, but not actually doing much apart from moving our mouse around. So the analogy of both is very relevant and poignant. Could you share, for people listening, are there any signs where there might be some stagnation or in the words that we're using to say, hang on, this is a red flag, this area might need a little bit of an upgrade?
Absolutely. I mean, and sometimes an upgrade, and sometimes actually go the simplicity. You know what I mean? If we are, and I've done that so often, I've had different businesses. I'm, you know, from Boston, lived in New York and university in my first career there. And coming to Italy, moving to Italy, within a couple of years, I opened up a film production company, you know, and a film production company, as an American, I think I've got a film production company. Wow, that's awesome, right? I did a film, Sister Smile, and some commercials and things. And I thought that I had to keep that production company going, and I had to build it, and I had to do more films, et cetera. But it wasn't enjoyable. It wasn't relaxing. It wasn't fun after I finished, you know, the initial incentive for opening it up. The moment I closed it, my career expanded, you know? And so sometimes we think we have to be the leaders and the, you know, and tell people what to do. And if we're really willing to engage with people, not communicate to them only, but communicate with them, you know, in our businesses, and really know that if we're unique and we have capacities and do things in a way that others don't, then so do other people, even if they're working for us, you know, even if they're on our team. So how can we actually communicate with them, engage with them, and see what is their unique approach to the various roles, to the various tasks, to the business itself? So in leaving that career, you know, as a film producer, you know, I started getting solicited from post-production companies. You know, I've worked as an international sales manager for a television production company here in Italy. Had I ever done that before? No. However, the unique approach that I have to communicating with people on a global level, had the producer hire me, right, the owner of the company hire me to travel with him, to invite people to check out the film series that they had, and then he could sell it, but I would invite them to explore what was unique and different about this. It was a fabulous company. He's no longer around, but the company still is, and it was fabulous. So, you know, that thinking that we're doing something wrong, like you were asking, or that there's a flag, the flag doesn't mean that there's a risk that's going to actually bring you down or cause failure. It might be a flag. It might be an alarm knocking on your door, ringing its bell, saying, hey, do you want to look to the left? Do you want to look to the right? Do you want to approach this business, your career, right, in a different way? And often, and I know that you are so amazing with it's not just about making money businesses, you know, it's also about contributing something to the world, to the planet, you know. And so what is the way that we can do what we're doing in a way that it will contribute to people on the planet, but the earth itself? Yeah,
that's really powerful. And what I'm hearing, or what's left with me, what's sort of with your words, is it's about finding that balance. It's about connecting to myself. I know that you're a huge advocate of the first line of communication is with self, and then being able to communicate it outwards. And I think what I'm hearing with your journey of, you know, changing countries, continents, languages, as well as complete sectors and businesses, that you knew who you were, you know who you are, and people see that, and that is what's attracting the opportunities for you to say yes or no to.
Absolutely. And I love the way you approach that and get that. It is so funny how we might be, you know, perceiving something by the way someone is saying it. If we're willing to look at it in a different way, it might just be completely different than what we expected it to be. So absolutely, connecting with you first and having a presence allows you to not only hear what other people are saying, but not to be made wrong or to go into self-doubt about you, you know? And that allows us to really engage with people in a completely different way. It's so funny. Have you ever misunderstood what someone said to you?
Never. Every day. Never. Every single day.
Yeah. And so really being willing to step back for a moment and have a more global view, even with your business, you know, how is your business going? It's going great. It's making lots of money. Okay. So we step back and look at it. Is it asking for something else? Is there something else that you can add to it that may not show up in the way you think it's going to, but that will create something greater in the future? And so I work so much with questions, you know, and I work with, you know, communication with questions, and great questions for Access Consciousness, with my 7 Steps communications program, with my Dancing with Riches, inviting people to recognize and be empowered to know that there's nothing about you that you can get wrong when and if you're willing to start from your home base, you know? And a lot of times people don't even, you know, acknowledge that they're not present with themselves. So they've got up some barriers that they're putting on these masks and thinking they have to act and perform in a certain way. And it's really not very comfortable. And you always know when you're in a business, I fly a lot, right? And different airlines, you can always tell when the management on that airlines is actually engaging with the people, not just demanding what they do, because they're delightful. And so when I have a chance to fly to take two or three different airlines, I'm always choosing the one that I've had an enjoyable trip with because of the flight attendants, you know? Yeah. Not because I get more miles in traveling with one, not because the business ticket is cheaper, but because the flight is delightful because of the employees, the flight attendants. And why is that? Because somehow the engagement that they're being with their business, with their bosses, with the airlines is nurturing for them. And look at what that creates, me flying with them more often.
It's an amazing analogy for life as well, because we're all on a journey. We're all on the flight to a destination. I'm really trying to prolong my destination arrival as long as possible. But if we took that attitude every single day that I was your attendant and you were mine, and I want you to have as enjoyable an experience, there'd be a lot more smiles on this planet, I reckon.
Absolutely. And, you know, just what popped up for me, I know this is maybe about our topic or not, but a lot of people don't want to be still or don't want to have openings in their calendar where they're not always busy, because they feel if they do, if they're not continually doing, then they might get bored, right? And so that continuous journey that you were talking about, right? If we are really connected with ourselves, then we know that so many more roads are going to open up, no matter what we do or where we are in life, when we are giving ourselves a moment of silence, a moment of connecting with ourselves, a moment of really just breathing in, breathing out, and saying and asking a question, what is it that I can be or do today that will create more in my life now and in the future? And what is the contribution I can be to the world and the planet? And why am I here? And just not looking for an answer, but just looking for that relaxation that gives you. And see what shows up in your business. See what shows up in your life, in your relationships. See what shows up. The journey that you think, I'm not really moving. I'm not taking a step. But maybe you're not taking a step. Maybe you don't feel your feet on the ground because you're flying. You inspire me. See that?
Yeah. Why, thank you. Likewise. I've just got one thing to add to that, and then I really want to hear a bit about the journey of the birth of your book and the seven steps and how they came about. Because the image I got was, I can only create a life that I can imagine from my own point of view, which is only created from my past. But by giving me the space that you talk about, asking those questions that you shared, and thank you for that, I might be able to step into my blind spot. And who knows what magic's happening there for me? Who knows what part of me have I been hiding because of a fear or trauma or some other reason. So yeah, by just pausing, the future can look very different to what I could ever imagine.
Yes, and let me just compliment you for a moment on your communication, because if you're listening to this podcast, sometimes you might not say what comes up for you because you don't think it's in line with the direction you need to be going in. But your communication skills, your communication magic will always have something pop for you that will inspire someone to connect with you in a different way, you know? So what you were just saying about wanting to do things and build your future based on your past and things that you have already imagined or know that exist, right? And what about and already seen? but choosing maybe to do and move forward in some of the blind spots, that is absolutely, my dear, what will create a life, a business, a future that is beyond your wildest imagination, you know? And it will not bore you. Because if we create something that we've already envisioned, we've already seen, when it's finished creating, being created, then what? Are we done? Is it over? You know what I mean? It's yeah. Like, okay, I've done that. And believe me, I did work like that for years. You know, I used to work with film festivals, having, you know, producers and you know, directors fly in from all over the world, organize them, set up their business situations. And then when they would fly back home and it was over, it worked out just the way I wanted it to. Mm. But if we're willing to actually engage with things that go beyond our imagination and to actually invite new things into our lives, you can't, like I said before, you can't lose or fail. You can either win and explode into something different or learn something that will allow you to begin another journey, you know, so without going into self-doubt, self-criticism, you know what I mean? Losing your self-esteem. Each and every thing that shows up in our lives is part of who we are in the past and also in the present. So just being and working and playing with, you know, that question. So why is this showing up at the moment? What is it that I'm not seeing that if I'm willing to look at it from a different perspective will actually inspire me to create something new? And, you know, once I was asking the founder of Access Consciousness, you know, what is the difference in this than, you know, going and, you know, setting your vision board and then trying to execute that? And what he said was just brilliant. You know, our vision board is only what our mind has already seen, you know, and has already imagined. But if we were willing to go beyond that 10% of our brain capacity called the mind, right, and explore what is available for us, what is in line with us and our vibration on this planet, we will explode possibilities than we could ever imagine, you know? So there are different things that say, you know, you have to be clear, you have to set your goals, you have to set, you know, your destination. Just embark on your journey. Sure, set a target, you know, but you might, you know, shoot at the moon and hit a star, you know?
Yeah, it's very relevant.
Thank you so much for that.
Yeah, thank you for sharing. And that's pretty much my conscious journey. There's the Kate that was born in 1979 and then the Kate that consciously awoke in 2012. And I set the goal, as you said, of being a world champion as an Ironman triathlete. I never reached there. My path is somewhere completely different, where now I am a world champion in a different distance and also a world record cyclist. But that is all the richer because I failed at my original goal. I don't call myself a failure, but I needed that target, but also keep it very fluid to just see what the universe had actually in mind for me.
Absolutely. But had you not embarked on that, would you have then? Exactly. Yeah.
So
just, you know, anyway, I used to go to places, have a day off, and I would be looking at the map in my room, and, you know, and say, okay, well, I'll go out and I'll have lunch here, or maybe I'll have it here. And then by the time I finished, lunchtime was over, you know, so you're actually trying to plan everything out. Just step out.
Yeah.
Step out. And maybe you'll see across the street something that's not yet on the map, which is most the most delightful place for lunch that exists there.
Yeah. Exactly. And about your book, did you always want to be or have an aspiration to be an author?
It's so funny that you asked that. You know, I actually had, as a kid, I remembered it later, right? After becoming a facilitator and a teacher, you know, and a speaker. And having written a couple of books that I had actually wanted, I said, I'm going to write books and I want to teach. And then I went into journalism and hospitality and all this stuff. And somebody was like really inspired me to write a book. And so I wrote this little teeny little book, Seven Steps to Flawless Communication. And people in different languages were wanting the book. So it, you know, I said, oh, sure, you can translate it. Okay, you can translate it. You can translate it. It's in 20 languages now. And then when I started, and then I contributed chapters to about 5 different books. And when I started writing my second book, I was like, oh my goodness, I'm an author. And I teach workshops, you know, and I've been on communication within business, communication with children and people. You know, and teach workshops on project development and how you can look at it from different perspectives. And I was like, wait a minute, I'm a facilitator, I'm a teacher. I never even really know, you know? So what achievement are we every step of the journey, you know, accomplishing that we actually maybe don't acknowledge? Yeah.
That's amazing. And what I'm doing, if you haven't guessed, I'm sure you might notice this, I'm looking at the words, but I'm also looking at the energy behind those words, like the emotions. So what I'm feeling is that, you know, you always wanted to be a teacher and a facilitator, but instead of going the logic, the brain way of going to school, doing teacher training, et cetera, finding a safe, secure job where you can put yourself in a box and teach what they want you to teach, you discovered who you were and found out the gifts people asked you how. And once you found out the people who wanted to ask that question, you knew you had a valid model of teaching and you could monetize it that way. So it's
absolutely. And, you know, the funny thing is, I mean, I guess as the writer, I wanted to be a writer because I, you know, got the undergraduate degree in journalism, you know. It's just that it wasn't I had been working with journalism, you know, I was at the Boston Globe as a teenager and, you know, right out of college and writing at the university and all that. But then it wasn't that interesting that the jobs that showed up for me, you know, because I went into the hospitality industry because I really love engaging, you know, with different languages, with people from all over the world and in these, you know, 5-star hotels in New York City or near Central Park, that's what you're engaging with. So what I had identified as writing was being a journalist. I hadn't actually thought about, now that I remember it, thank you for saying that, an author of books, you know, journalists write all the time, you know what I mean? And so, and teaching at a high school or a university, but I hadn't really thought about, you know, considered teaching as facilitating, which is making it easier for people to discover what they know and how they are doing. So, you know, how many things have we decided we want to do, you know, and it's just going to show up in a different way. Yeah. You know, this is a huge, huge world, you know, and there are so many different ways of approaching what your, you know, what your amazing genius is and your unique way of being a gift here on this, in this world. Everyone is different. And your communication, right? I love that because you said, yes, I'm listening to the words, but I'm also hearing the energy, you know? And one of the things that people always say to me is that you say words and we hear the words and we receive the energy on so many different levels. So yeah, communicating is that. Are you a communication genius too, my darling?
I'm just tapping
it. You acknowledged it.
That's one of the things my partner says I am terrible at is I usually use the wrong words. I'm more about how I say it more over than what the words I'm saying. So I'm asking him to open the window or when I mean the front door. But to me, it's the emotion behind it. I appreciate it's a really silly example. But yeah.
Yes. Well, no, it's never a silly example. We could go on forever, right? Because words, for example, have an energy to them. All words do. And where does that come from? For the years and years and years that people have used those words to communicate something, you know, in 1946, they changed the definition of lots of words in the dictionary because the words that were being used by Adolf Hitler had convinced people that they needed to, you know, start a war and go against, you know, the Jewish people. So after the war was over, they wrote the dictionary, and a lot of words have meanings that people use the words to mean something else. Like I want to talk to you, Kate, but the word want, for example, for years, I mean, the Brits know this because for want of a better word, you've heard that before, right? For lack of a better word, the word want is actually 21, before 1946, 21 of the first 21 definitions of that word was about lack. So maybe but your partner is saying, you know, do you want this? Well, I really like that. No, but do you want it? Hmm. And you're like, want it? Not exactly, but maybe you're not using that word because you're getting not just the hearing of the word, but the vibration of the word that existed for so many years about lack, yeah. Right? So just acknowledge. And anyone who's listening, if what the way someone is saying something is uncomfortable for you, what do you know about the vibration of that word? You know, how is that? And please know that the way you communicate is unique. Mm. You know, the way each and every one of us communicate is unique, you know, and the way, not just how we talk, but communicating is also how you hear and how you listen, you know, so please don't ever go into the wrongness of it. Just explore it a little bit more and you'll find out your magic.
It's so exciting. And one of the very few facts I know around the English language compared to others is that we have a lot more words. The word to start, we also have to commence, but in say French or Italian, they just have one of those words. So English speaking people have a bigger spectrum to be able to find those nuances. So it's about, I'm doing my best to sort of learn different words and find the right fit energetically rather than being lazy and just using a word because it's in the front of my mind.
Right. There's also, you know, lots of different languages have that. I don't know if you know it in Chinese and Mandarin, right? You can say the same word with a different tone, and it's different. And there's a word in Italian as well. It's like magari, right? Which is, if possible, would it be so? But it's also the way you say it, magari. Means if God were willing or something like that, or what if it's possible, different ways. And I was just talking about that on a business call about book production and how they're being translated certain words. So English, yes, has lots of a huge dictionary. However, other languages do as well. It's just in a different way. Yeah. It's nice to play with it.
Yeah. Very interesting. Thanks for sharing that.
Absolutely. And I like to invite people, you know, just in terms of communicating also with yourself, because, you know, when I was 8 years old in my third grade class, there was a lovely little petite Irish American gal, and she would write on the board every morning, "Good morning, today is Monday. Bonjour, aujourd'hui est lundi." She would write that every morning on the board. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And so a whole year, right, in the third grade with this class, I really loved that language. I really loved those words. And at the end of that year, I remember saying to myself, one day I am going to go to Paris, live there, and learn to speak French. And I did that for my junior year abroad at 20, 21. Yeah. And so how much do other languages resonate with you? I was with a group of Polish girls in a class in Milan, and we were in their room together. They were getting ready. We were going to go to dinner together, and they were speaking in Polish. And I don't really, you know, speak Polish. I know how to say hello and thank you in many languages because I really like how that helps you communicate with people. But they get so relaxed when you, even if you pronounce it incorrectly, it's even better because then they want to help you, right? But they said a word, and I don't remember how to pronounce the word at the moment, but they said a word that made me start giggling. I said, oh my goodness, what's that word that you guys are saying? I don't know why, but it's making me giggle, you know? So what is it that we think we have to understand, you know, and say in the right way to actually be inspired and motivated and find out where it is that we can be in the world and with whom we can engage now that we have so much online stuff and with whom we can engage with our business. who is our business asking for, you know? You know, when they started this this war, it's amazing, right? You weren't around in 1946.
No.
Neither was I. But there's a, you know, war going on here in Italy, two countries away. And the first day I, you know, they've got the news in Italian, but I really wanted to hear like the American news. I was like, let me go on YouTube and get the, you know, American news. And then for some reason, strange, for some reason, I clicked on another YouTube channel and I was listening for like 15 minutes to the update in Hindi.
Wow. I'm guessing you don't speak Hindi.
I don't speak Hindi, right? My first book, Seven Steps, is in Hindi. But what is it, like you're saying, right, Kate, that you hear the words, but you hear so much beyond the words, right? So what is it that words actually channel us into a structured understanding of what someone is saying, but it doesn't allow us to get the nuances of it? You know what I mean? So once you actually know what someone is saying in a language you understand, right? Hearing them say it again in a language that is not your first, second, or third language, how much more will you get from that? So that's just a parallel way of when you have a business and a structure and a staff and everyone has roles, right? It's one of the things I do with my Dancing with Riches project and workshops is invite people to work on a project just for a couple of hours, work on a project that is not something they think that they're interested in a role that they would never choose. And they discover how much they know about that work and how contributive they are to the person's project it is. Because the person that says, you know, you've never done accounting before. And you say, okay, listen, if I'm going to do the accounting for a project like this, this is what I need to know. And you feel a little stupid because you're asking questions, right? That aren't the accounted questions. But the project people are always like, wow, the project directors, wow, thank you so much for asking that. I hadn't even taken that into consideration, you know? So really a different language, a different role, a different type of business, a different culture will expand your awareness and engage some of the talents and abilities you have, not only in communicating, but also in producing and creating. That you might not have yet acknowledged.
Yeah, that's so powerful. And it sounds like we're just turning off that all-knowing logic in our brain to sort of come from a fresh perspective, as you said, from that fresh angle, from a clean slate, without our assumptions just being dragged in with, you know, Miss Know-It-All trying to prove a point or show off their knowledge or whatever's usually running the show.
Absolutely. And if you're ever like really so intensely trying to get something right, go for a run, watch Kate run, go work out, because there's a certain moment after which, I'm not kidding, I was thinking about you when I was on the treadmill the other day, a certain moment after which your brain is like, your mind is like, okay, I'm leaving now. I'm going for a rest. You keep working with your body and then boom, you actually, when you're done in a relaxed state mentally, that allows you to actually see things from a different perspective.
Mm. Yeah, so powerful. And I've got hundreds of questions because we've barely touched on your book, The Seven Steps to Effective Communication. But my expectation is that quite a lot of what we're talking about is within that, in the how question, how we can start applying what you're talking about.
Absolutely. Well, the first and foremost thing, whatever way works for you, is to connect with you. That's the first phase of the seven steps. Connect with you. And the two first steps in the book are a tricky way to get you to connect with you, because for some people, that's really intense. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh my gosh, this is about me. I want to, you know. So that's why I've got enough, you know, the other projects I do are about projects. Oh, sure, let's go in the projects, but let's go in project creation and project development with the Dancing with Riches. However, it's always about first connecting with you, recognizing what is the different way that you approach life from others, you know, in a different way. And everyone, it's so easy for me to see all these fabulous things about you, right? The idea of saying, oh, your partner says, you know, the words you use, but I see what's unique and different and magical, right, about you. Oftentimes, we don't see it about ourselves. So that's what the invitation is for that. And it's not about making anyone else wrong, and it's about not making you wrong.
Yeah.
And then how to activate step two is called talk to your body, talk to your intuition, activate your instincts, and really recognize when you are making the right choice for you and when you are choosing something that you think you should make, so that when there's any change in this past 2 years with the COVID, how to make a choice that is going to keep you moving forward in your life, as opposed to choosing something that you think you're supposed to choose, you know? Close the business. That was one of the things that was everyone was doing, right? You have to go from doing live classes to doing them online, reduce your business, close it, you know? I didn't do that. It wasn't my instinct told me, you know, not. So that connecting with you allows you to then recognize when you're not connected, you know? The second phase is disconnecting from who you are not, you know? So this step three is lowering those barriers. What is it? And there's so much we go into in the classes, but what is it that triggers your barriers to come up? You know, what is it, something someone says? Is it something, some places that you go? What is it that actually stops you from letting people or things into your life? And we're all, you know, looking for something, right? And not looking for love in all the wrong places. That's a great song, but we're all looking for something. But if we've got up barriers, that something finds us, but it can't reach us because we're actually locking things out. So step three is about recognizing when you're disconnected and you put up walls and barriers and, you know, you've got a fence up, but you've got the electrical charge on that fence and everything you've been asking for and looking for is actually trying to come your way, but can't get in. And also when we're, step four is in that disconnecting phase is when we're actually doing, putting up a barrier, but also putting on a mask, right? Or a veil and hiding behind that and thinking we have to act in a certain way, you know? So when you're really connected with you initially, then you recognize that you're disconnected. And you know what? It may happen that 90% of the time you've got walls and barriers up, you're hiding behind a mask or a veil, you're pretending to be something that you're not. But the more you're willing to reconnect with you, reconnect and get back to you, that percentage begins to change and your life changes, your business changes, your relationships change, and things get so much easier. Things get so much easier. Yeah. And so when you are connected with you, you recognize when you're disconnected with you, then you can reconnect with you and with other people in a very different way. So that third phase of the seven steps is about reconnecting and engaging with people in a different way and seeing things from their perspective. So you don't get offended if they're saying things in a way that doesn't seem kind. You're actually willing to not think you have to do everything. You're not alone. You never have been. You never will be. So once you recognize that and you're connected with you and know that you're unique and different, you actually know that about other people too. And so you're looking for the magic in them. And that is such a kind way of even being silent with people, because there's no pushing or there's no, you know, neediness that you have from them. It's just a willingness to invite them to step out and be heard and be seen. So that step five is engaging. Step six is expanding your zone, so you have a bit more of possibilities that you can approach communication with, approach your business with, approach your relationship with. And a lot of times, like we were talking about that earlier, that we have, you know, a set of rules, a structure that we have to follow. If you're willing to expand your zone of awareness, expand your communication with people beyond the set structure, then what shows up in the way it shows up is quite interesting and creates much more for you. And so those are the two steps in that reconnect phase. And the last phase is about establishing true connection, which is really connecting with the planet, with the world, with the universe, knowing that you are home here. that anyone and everyone you meet is also home here. So mm-hmm. when you are in communicating with people in your home, you never feel out of place, you know? And it's just a very different energy. It's a very different approach. And it really allows you to engage with business, with relationships, with animals, with trees, and with you and your life in a relaxed way. It doesn't have to always be easy, but you can have ease with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So those are the seven steps in communication, and we work with them with kids. Seven steps with kids, seven steps with to flawless communication, with business, abundance in business, and with yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. And yeah, it just sounds a very natural process, because quite a lot of communication is actually forcing a point of view to somebody until they surrender and say, yes, you're right. Or listening for the pause so we can get in there first as well and show what we want. It sounds for you, it's about being present. It's about in the now and seeing what's there.
Absolutely. And, you know, I have, there are teachers around the world of the Seven Steps program. And I'm going to be doing something with these three Dr. S's, Dr. Sarah, Dr. Schubert, Dr. Sasha, and how they have changed their, you know, their clinics, their businesses, their engagement with patients and, you know, medicines with these seven steps of flawless communication. There are also, you know, theta healers and access facilitators and writers and singers. There are teachers really all around the world, in China and Taiwan and South America and Europe. And each and every one of them, the way that they approach communication and approach these seven steps is unique and different. And so this is what I love. I know that this is one of the contributions that I am here is in having a seven steps program where people can become teachers and invite different explorations in people's lives in different languages too.
Yeah. What an amazing gift to discover in yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'd love to carry on communicating with you. I don't really want to call it talking, because I feel it's a much deeper connection with what you're sharing, and it's very resonant to where I am on my journey as well.
Absolutely.
I'd love to ask you a few questions, if possible, that I ask every guest, because I love to see the path, if you see what I mean. So the first question is, what one skill do you think we all need today?
Presence, the ability to get back to us when we're distracted.
Mm.
Yeah. And to the fastest way back to you, make sure that the lights are always turned on that route.
Yeah. Yeah. I've started just on that note, because as you know, my birthday's next week. So I use it as a time to reflect on who I am and if I am representing a 43-year-old Kate. And I'm realizing that I'm using distracting tools, like games on my computer, not lots, but I'm disconnecting. So what you just said about getting reconnected and being present is something that I notice I would like more of in my life.
Yes. And please don't misidentify what being disconnected looks like, because it might be something working on your computer or on a game that's actually giving you that time with yourself. You know what I mean? So it doesn't mean that you have to be still and silent, and you know what I mean? It's like a walking, talking meditation that you might be doing. And the flowers are like, oh, please walk by me, Kate, because you're so nice and present while you're walking or while you're running. Please run on me, because nobody is present when they're running on me. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, true. I suppose, yeah, it's not making the action wrong. It's just I'm noticing that I'm using it as a tool to disconnect. So, yeah, I'm not demonizing the tool, but for me, it is working in that sense of being present or having
it. Yeah, present. Yeah. And that's a deep connection that you're looking for. That's
good. Yeah. And what do you follow more personally? Is it logic or intuition?
Intuition. Yeah. You know, it's so funny, though, because when you get your intuition, then you try to justify it logically.
Yeah. rationalize.
I've done that before. It was so totally clear. It was like such a yes. It was an immediate, simultaneous intuition and awareness. And then it was like, okay, let me ask a question and see if this is logically correct. Once I was so funny. And and everything just stopped. And it was like, really? Really? You really want to make this logically correct? It's not obvious. Yeah. When you follow your intuition, it's an inspiration for more intuition to show up.
Yeah, very true. And how do you personally deal with your failures or not achieving your goals?
Well, you know, it's different each time. I'm not sure about the failure because if I don't accomplish what my goal is at the moment, then I keep moving forward, you know? And if I'm not going into the wrongness of me or resistance, then keep moving forward. What shows up is amazing. Yeah. I know you don't want another conversation about this. I love this job I was working on for every 4 months, every 10 years. I mean, every year for 10 years. And I wasn't that comfortable with the woman I was working with. And finally, I said, okay, I'm no longer going to keep this job, you know, because it's way too intense. And so I thought I was, you know, you would consider that a failure to continue with the job. The moment I let it go, I wasn't looking down, I was looking up, and I got three amazing job offers doing something new in the same field of festival work, film festival work. So what you sometimes, if you're not willing to be connected with you and to follow your intuition, then something has to break right in front of you, right? A failure, like you called it. But that is just to say, okay, you didn't choose to do something different. The universe, God, Allah, Buddha, Shiva, whatever, is like, okay, here we go. Boom. Yeah. Okay. So know that when something shows up as a failure, it's probably an invitation for you to begin engaging with the riches of your life. That's what that's in so many examples from my life in Dancing with Riches book about places where I felt like I had fallen down, had fallen back and failed, and looking at them in a different way and inviting people how to look at your what you've considered a failure in a different way and choose something different. Mm.
That's, again, it's very resonant to what you said throughout this conversation, that it's the perspective. If one angle it looks like there's a failure or a missing, from another it might be seen as the riches. So it's find the perspective that works rather than judge the event that happened.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because it's your unique way of addressing life. You know, this is, it's always our dance. You know, the music may change, the stage may change, the partner may change, but this is our dance. So if you're willing to recognize what the riches are, the way you engage with people in different areas of your life is quite different. And how do you continue moving forward, even if, quote unquote, a failure shows up? You know, your failures can make you wise, you know? Yeah, that's one of the phrases from my song. I made a song, Dancing with Riches. I'm going to share it with you as soon as it comes out. I made a song about that. Your failures can make you wise. Yeah.
Look at that. You know, author, facilitator, educator, international entrepreneur, and singer. Why not?
Why not? And what else? And what else, right?
Exactly. Exactly. I'm looking forward to finding out.
I did an acting once. I mean, not just once. I did it a couple of times, but I did it. I did a show with Kevin Spacey, a film.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? It was a 1 minute. It was going to be 3 minutes on the screen, but then he got, you know, pushed down. But it was 3 hours standing, like, you know, 1 foot or 2 feet away from him. Isn't that cool? And interacting, acting. Why not? What else? What else?
We'll put it out there and we'll find out. The how will work itself out, but we put out these dreams and see what happens.
Yes, yes, yes.
What one message or thing would you like to leave us with?
The one message or thing that I would like to leave with you, please know that there is so much more that unites us than separates us. So if you're willing to not feel like you have to be like anyone else and recognize that what's different about you is not a limitation, but it is actually a unique way that you are in the world. Mm-hmm. So much it's this, you know, the same about everyone. And so a lot of times they're trying to adjust that part that's different about them. Please celebrate that difference and don't resist it.
That's really, I got tingles. That's really, really powerful. Thank you so much. I really value your time, your words of wisdom, your openness and honesty as well. And for everyone listening, please visit cassthomas.com. I know you're very social on social media, so connect. I'll have all the links in the blog notes. And yeah, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. You know, they say that arigato in Japanese. Arigato gozaimasu. Merci, спасибо, obrigada.
Exactly. Yeah.
Thank you. Grazie.
One of the biggest things I took from this podcast is the reminder that it's okay and even positive to fail. Our failures make us who we are. It's in those moments where we actually don't achieve our goals, don't reach the top of the mountain, and don't get what we were planning. That's when we need to dig deep and find out how hard we can push and how great we quite possibly are. Remember to find Cass's books, 7 Steps to Flawless Communication. I am confident there are many words of wisdom that we can apply in those few pages. And in the next episode, we are meeting a woman who has truly embraced the art of effective communication, Dr. Gemma Newman. She'll be sharing with us her personal journey and how she's become one of the leading experts in a plant-based life. She'll be sharing with us how she has stepped into being one of the leading experts in living a plant-based and healthy lifestyle. And if you enjoyed this podcast, then please leave a review. It means the world to me to know that the words and the messages I'm bringing to you from these inspiring people from around the world is making an impact. So until the next episode, please keep in positive action.